Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better, You Bet, presented by BetMGM right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on YouTube TV, Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you want to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe. Check out the show on Twitter at You Better You Bet, and the entire network at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. You know, if you like our show, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tips, send it in. All the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends, you know what to do at BetMGM Network on Twitter. We got the crew hanging with us here on this Tuesday. We have Tyler Morales, Jay Kassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Nick Costos. He is out today, but filling in for Nick, it is the guy that you know and love, who you see weekdays 1 to 1:30 on Send It In, the great PJ Glasser, the Glass Man, hanging out with us once again here on a Tuesday. And you can hit up PJ on Twitter at PJGlasser9. PJ, what's happening? How we doing on this Tuesday, buddy?
Femi, we're doing fantastic. I'm having a great day. Not as good as Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Oh, man. It's pretty good.
Hard to top that, right? Hard to top that. I want to follow the props for Kelce in that week one game against the Chargers. I want to see how much that thing gets steamed up. I want to see what the touchdown prices are. So right now, he's 11-1 to score the first touchdown in the game. I mean, people are just going to be betting this stuff left and right. So that's obviously the big news of the day. But it's great to have U.S. Open tennis on again, some live sports while we're on in the studio. Do we have any live soccer on today, Femi? I know we were sweating out that Newcastle game yesterday. No soccer today.
Yeah, our guy Tyler Morales, golf aficionado, after hitting Tommy Fleetwood over the weekend, now soccer aficionado, tackling the Prem, was able to get that home. So no, there's no soccer, at least not on USA. So we have no Premier League. We'll have to wait till Friday night football with the Premier League back into our lives for match day 3, I believe they are on, across the pond. So, but we do have the U.S. Open, like you were mentioning there. Have you been betting that? Have you been sweating the U.S. Open so far? I know we've had a couple of guests on to talk about that. Kenny Ducey on Friday, the whale capper Drew Dinsick yesterday. Have you been dabbling in the hardcourt season over there at Flushing Meadows?
Not yet. So when it comes to tennis, I'm kind of like in the middle, right? Like, I'm not deep in the weeds. I couldn't tell you like the 98th ranked player in the world or all that, but I kind of know enough, and I've watched like enough people where when we get down to like maybe, you know, the quarterfinal round or the fourth round, somewhere in that range, I kind of take a look at some of these prices. Some of these matches where it's like coin flips, you know, and maybe the favorite is like a -130, I might get involved if I've heard of both the players. I just kind of like to sit back and watch, because I think the U.S. Open, more than any of the other majors, Femi, really is all about the form that you're in, because it's late in the season. A lot of these players are really tired. You know, they've been traveling all over the world and whatnot. I mean, we saw Madison Keys get upset yesterday. Like, you tend to see some big upsets at the U.S. Open. I tend to wait to see how both the men and the women look, like, the first couple rounds before I start to dive in. So, no bets for me quite yet. But I'm sure over the next couple days, I'll probably start dabbling at the U.S. Open a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have to dabble into that one. I mean, we have a couple of weeks for that thing to before it wraps up. So always a fun time of year. U.S. Open coinciding with college football, with the National Football League. Tough, tough day for the men's final every year on a Sunday, like right during the witching hour. That's a tough time slot, man. Like, I'm just going to say it. I ain't going to be watching that. I'm going to be watching Lions Packers or like the wrapping up of the early window in the National Football League. It's tough. But hey, we still love tennis here on You Better You Bet. But we're going to talk a lot of football on the show today. NFL cut down day as the teams get down to 53 players on their roster. Not the final rosters. That's the misconception. These are not final rosters. Are fluid. It's a player acquisition. It's a 24/7, 365 kind of job. But NFL cutdown day, as we have that today at 4 o'clock Eastern. Teams will have to be down to 53 players on their roster. We'll also get into some college football. Interesting comments from Texas quarterback Arch Manning as he is going to make his week one debut for the Longhorns coming up on Saturday as they pay a visit to the defending, the reigning national champion Ohio State Buckeyes. We're going to get to a lot of stuff over these next 4 hours. So as always, if you miss any part of the show, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And because we're going to do you a solid and put all the content on there on demand for you to consume, the least you could do is to subscribe, rate, and review. We have one guest who will be joining us on the program today to begin the Power Hour at 6 o'clock Eastern, former Jets and Chiefs head coach, ESPN NFL analyst. It is the great Herm Edwards who returns to You Better You Bet. He's going to help us break down the biggest storylines in the NFL as we will tackle the National Football League as we're, boy, you look at the calendar, 9 days away from the start of the NFL regular season. Absolutely love to say that out loud as we will talk to Herm Edwards at 6 o'clock Eastern. But let's get into the big story of the day here, PJ. And I wasn't sure that this is where we're going to start the show today, but hey, you know what? That's the beauty of what we do. We react to stuff going on in the world of sports and the world of entertainment. And today, the two merge together and marry together, if you will, with the big news of Travis Kelce, the Chiefs All-Pro tight end, future Hall of Famer, is now engaged to his girlfriend, Taylor Swift, the most famous entertainer going right now here in 2025 in the world. Wow. I did not expect this. I don't think anybody expected this. I mean, I know they've been dating for a couple of years. And think about how this thing all started with Kelce giving her a nice shout-out on his podcast. But now, fast forward to today, the two are engaged. The post on Instagram is doing numbers. I think it might be at 1 billion likes at this point since it's now been up for a couple of hours now. But this is breaking the internet. It's trending everywhere. It's pretty crazy that this is where we sit now. 2 years ago, you get laughed out of the room if you say, yeah, Travis Kelce is going to be getting married to Taylor Swift at some point in his life. But now, like, hey, this is our love story. It's everyone's love story that we all love. And I know some people are, you know, a little bit oversaturated by this whole relationship, but like, you can't help but feel happy for them. Like, they're both great people. At least it seems like they're great people. I don't know them personally, but on the outside, they seem like they're great people. And I think it's awesome. Kudos to them. Love is amazing. I'm married. So we're all going through this stuff. If you're out there, you're married, you've been engaged before, like, you understand what they're feeling today with all the congratulations from family, friends, colleagues, et cetera, et cetera. An awesome, awesome, awesome news day with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift engaged, PJ. I know, like, you've been very much tracking this like I have been all throughout this afternoon. Locked in on the IG posts, on all the photos. Your thoughts on this big news that we have with Travis Kelce putting a ring on it.
So I'm doing Send It In, right, at 1 p.m. Eastern time when my show starts. This news probably breaks around, like, 1:10 Eastern time or something like that. All of a sudden, Femi, I'm talking to one of the guests on my show, and I look down to my left, and my phone's just blowing up. And I'm like, what is going on right now? And then after
like,
I guess
he was cut.
Right? Something going on? I'm like, can somebody step on Lamar's foot again? Can we please just keep him at home? Like, what is going on? And then I obviously see that they get engaged. So I like you. I'm not a Taylor Swift hater. Like, I'm not a Swiftie by any means. I have no problem with her. I like you. She seems like a very nice person. I'm happy for them. I'm excited that the music that could potentially come out of this too, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's just like a happy marriage album or maybe a divorce album that could go like double platinum. We'll see.
Come on,
how
PJ.
It all works out. That's what Twitter was saying. I mean, to me,
the day that they're engaged, he's out here saying, what about the divorce album? they can't enjoy 24?
That's what Twitter was saying. Well, that's my favorite part of this is the memes like that come out of it. That's what people were tweeting about. Yeah. So obviously wish him the best of luck. Hopefully we don't get that divorce album. What I want to know, Femi, we were talking about this before the show. I mean, who gets the honor of singing at the reception of the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce wedding, right? I mean, that Rolodex is wide open. You could go to any, and, you know, pun intended, I don't know who Taylor Swift has bad blood with in the music industry, but you can pretty much go with anybody.
Jake, how do we rate that one?
In the music
world.
I think that's a solid 7. Jake, what do you think? I think that was a solid seven.
Is that a control? Seven.
Seven.
Mike Brown with the thumbs down. Tyler says that you're on fire, but keep going.
I mean, I just, I don't know who's going to perform. I'm already seeing offshore accounts too, Femi, that have Taylor Swift as at even money to perform at this year's Super Bowl. So there's a lot of wrinkles to all of this. You know, I'm thinking about who's performing at the wedding. Other people think that this means she's a lock to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Which direction, like, are you going?
Okay, well, PJ, let's get into that because I did have that noted. That was something that we were discussing last week during one of the breaks, like the halftime show with all the rumors that Taylor Swift might be performing at it. Halftime show, obviously the Super Bowl is going to be in Santa Clara this year in San Francisco. Who else is listed in that betting market? So you said that Taylor Swift is the even money favorite. Who else is listed right now at that offshore sports book currently?
Yeah, let me pop it up. It was Sabrina Carpenter, I know, was up there towards the top.
Ooh, feels early for her.
Dua Lipa. So Taylor Swift was even money, plus 100. Dua Lipa was 7-1. Sabrina Carpenter was 8-1. Mariah Carey, Miley Cyrus, and Oasis, who obviously have made their return, they're 10-1. And then you got Billie Eilish.
As like a trio, or they're all just individually?
No, listen individual. So those are 10-1. So Mariah Carey, Miley Cyrus, Oasis, Billie Eilish, Jay-Z, Metallica, 12-1. And then they have Christina Aguilera and Ed Sheeran at 14-1. So I think Sabrina Carpenter, like at 8-1, would probably be my bet, if I'm being honest with you.
Really?
Like that's, yeah, I mean, she's really big right now. I mean, those odds are pretty good. You know, she's arguably got the song of the summer right now. Manchild, I would think, would probably be the top one. So I think she would be the bet that I would make. But I'm surprised Taylor Swift is that big of a favorite. Like, never in my mind when I saw that they got married was I thinking, like, oh, now Taylor's a lock to do the Super Bowl. I don't think she'll ever do it, Femi, if I'm being honest with you.
So I think she will do it, but I think she's going to wait for Travis to be retired. So when this happened, like when they got engaged, I was like, okay, like now she's for sure not doing it, which is like, that was my betting thought. Like, I think once Kelce retires, then I think she'll eventually do it. Cause like, she's such a prime candidate. She's got banger after banger. The catalog is immense. People want her to do it. Like, it will be the highest rated event
Super Bowl
of the
ever.
Decade. Like it'll be like of the decade, at least like just like that 12-minute window, but the Super Bowl will probably be the highest rated one ever for sure. Like they want her. Like, everyone benefits from Taylor Swift doing the Super Bowl halftime show. But I was talking to my wife about this. Like, usually the Super Bowl halftime performer is kind of like either at their peak or sort of descending, if you will. Like, Kendrick is kind of like, that was like a one-off. I feel like the NFL sort of rode the wave of like the rap battle between he and Drake, and they said, hey, let's put Kendrick Lamar on there. But usually it's someone like Usher 2 years ago, or here's like Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and stuff like that, like 50 Cent. Like those guys are on the descend. Like, they're not making music. They're just playing their hits and kind of giving us the vibes of the nostalgia. Taylor Swift, as popular as she is, and I think she really is probably the most popular entertainer in the world right now. You can argue her and Beyonce or whatever going back and forth, but I think it's Taylor Swift just slightly. It still feels like she's ascending. Like, it does. And I'm like you. I'm not some big Swiftie. Like, I've heard her songs. She has good songs. But, like, it still feels like she hasn't reached her peak. So, like, would she do it as she's still kind of climbing up? Maybe, but I mean, you don't get paid for doing the halftime show because that's the whole big deal. It's all about the promotion and all the eyeballs that are on you. But I think that she still has a few years before she decides to, hey, I'll finally do this and I'll finally give everybody what they want and we will break all the TV records in the history of ratings. But I think we're still a couple of years away from that.
I think that's fair. You're right. This could be Travis's last year. I think after this, I think a lot of people will probably feel like it is, like this is it for him. So you would think it wouldn't be this year. Maybe a couple years down the road, she ends up doing it. But from a betting standpoint, Femi, does this change how you feel about Kelce going into the season? Mm. If you have fantasy drafts coming up, would this scare you away from drafting him? Like, would this scare you away from season-long props taking overs? Or would you like the unders? I don't know if I have a strong opinion on it. If anything, I kind of think this motivates him. And to me, this tells him it's his final season and he wants to go out strong. He's obviously put in a lot of work this offseason, looks much better. So I thought Kelce was already going to have a pretty good year, bounce back year. I kind of think even strongly that more than he's gonna be really good.
I'll say this, because usually we have the baby bump evidence, guys like or women that have the child, and then like the athletes play much better once they become mothers and fathers. We do have a data point from last year where Josh Allen was planning the wedding, was engaged, won the MVP, got married this past offseason. Maybe Kelce puts one last performance for us here in 2025. We'll talk more about that as we're just getting started here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.
Mahomes steps up, throws, and he got it! Touchdown, Kelce!
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Femi Ebefe, PJ Glasser, hanging out with you guys here on this Tuesday, breaking down the big news of the day. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift engaged, as they announced on their Instagrams. Congratulations to the both of them. The haters must be in shambles. All the people that were saying, oh, this is a publicity stunt. Or maybe they just love each other, and now they're getting married. So shout out to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. But as we were heading to break in the last segment, PJ brought up a really good question of, hey, does this make you want to do anything betting-wise as it pertains to Travis Kelce? Which is a very interesting question. And the whole timing of all of this I find very fascinating, because early this morning, before the engagement announcement, early this morning, ESPN's Nate Taylor, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs, one of their NFL Nation reporters, but he is the guy that covers the Chiefs, he wrote an article about Travis Kelce and Kelce's mindset heading into his 13th season in the NFL. And pretty much the premise of the article is that, hey, this could be the last dance for Travis Kelce. Like he's played 13 years, or played 12 years rather, heading into year 13, but he's played 12 years. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's won 3 Super Bowls, and there was talks of retirement early this offseason. Then around the combine, Kelce said, hey, I'm coming back for 1 year, but like his contract does not extend beyond this season. And Kelce's mindset ever since they lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles back in February was, quote, I can't go out like that. Like, Travis Kelce, I think, is contemplating his retirement. I think if you gave him truth serum, he's definitely thinking about that. The fact that he had to come back this year and, like, needed an announcement to come back, like, that tells me that, all right, he might be thinking about this and thinking about life after football. But then also, because the gist of the article talks about what he's been doing throughout this offseason to get ready for the upcoming season, I think this might be Kelce revenge year. And I'm saying this as somebody who last year thought he was washed. Like, I thought he was absolutely cooked. And I don't know if it was because last offseason he had so much going on. He was traveling around the world with Taylor Swift during her Eras tour over in Europe. There were so many things. Maybe he didn't have like the quite proper training regimen that he typically had earlier in his career. But this season sounds like he's gotten back to basics, and he has just been focusing on his conditioning. He's lost some weight, like about 10 to 15 pounds reportedly. Like, this might be a different Travis Kelce than what we got in 2020. And I'm starting to agree with you, PJ. Like, I do think, like, not to say that he's going to win like Offensive Player of the Year or he's going to be an All-Pro this season, but I do think Kelce will be good, especially late in the year, which is where they need him the most, unlike what we saw last postseason. So I'm with you. I'm buying Travis Kelce, and I'm buying the fact that this probably will be his last dance, and he wants to go out on top. And his definition of that is winning a Super Bowl. Will they do that? Maybe. Let's see. They're, of course, one of the teams that you have to consider, but I do think you're going to get the best of Travis Kelce. Of what is left of him, it will be the best of him in his final year in the NFL.
Yeah, look, I'm buying all the Kelce stock. I would look at him, and if you have your fantasy drafts, I would look to buy in on him. Like you said, Femi, the last couple years, it definitely feels like they haven't used him as much in the regular season, kind of saved their bullets with him for the playoffs. He was great a couple years ago, was up and down this past postseason against the Eagles, obviously, was not very good. I think this is it, though. I think this is his final season, and I think, you know, getting engaged to Taylor Swift now, I kind of feel like this is it for him. I don't think he would do something like that and then play, you know, 2-3 more years. I think this is it. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to go out with a bang. I think that's why he put in so much work this offseason on his body to get back in shape. So I think Kelce's going to play much better in the regular season. And also, this is the best receiving core the Chiefs have had in a while there in Kansas City. So they don't need to rely on Travis as much as they probably did the last couple years in the regular season. We'll see what ends up happening with Rashee Rice and the games that he maybe has to sit out potentially, or how that all breaks down. But they're going to have him. Year two is Xavier Worthy. Hollywood Brown's going to be in the mix as well. They're going to have Pacheco healthy to start the season. They can lean on the run game a little bit. So they don't need to use Kelce as much, or maybe force feed him as much as they would have liked to the last couple years. But I actually think the help of the receiving room is going to open up more things for Kelce, and I think he's going to have more production in the regular season. So, Femi, I think he's going to have a big year. I think this is it for Travis Kelce. I've wanted to avoid him, like in fantasy drafts or season-long props, anything like that, the last couple years. But I think this year would be a year where I would buy in on Travis, because I think this is his swan song.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a hell of a career. He's going to Canton, Ohio. It just depends when he decides to retire. I think it'll be after the season, but of course, that decision is up to him. Last thing I'll say, though, on the engagement here, I think it is a really good life lesson to always shoot your shot. Like, this man was shooting his shot, and like, he was going from way downtown, and look at him now 2 years later, after a podcast, 2 years later, now getting married to the most famous woman on planet Earth. So kudos to you, Travis Kelce. Once again, congratulations to both Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on their engagement. Now, let's spin it to the Kansas City Chiefs as a whole here, PJ, because the Chiefs, and this is one that I've been kind of been going back and forth with all throughout the offseason. Early in the offseason, I was looking for ways to fade Kansas City in the AFC West market. The team that I went with was the Los Angeles Chargers. However, the Chargers offensive line is banged up, so we have since backed off of that opinion. But from a market standpoint, it does feel like the Chiefs' fatigue and everyone just being tired of this team has finally seeped into the odds. Because if you look at it, outside of winning the division, Kansas City's not favored to do anything. When's the last time we were able to say that? Where Kansas City is not favored to do anything, whether it's Mahomes to win the MVP, Kansas City to win the AFC, to win the Super Bowl, to be the one seed. They're not favored in any of that. Let us not forget, this is the same Kansas City who's coming off a year where they went 15-2, where the offense never really clicked. As you outlined earlier, the pass catcher should be better once they get everybody back from injury and or suspensions. Mahomes is still the best quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about Manning ratings, all that. I have eyeballs. I watch football on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, whenever the hell else they put the games on. Like, Mahomes is still the best player in the league. How do you balance the clear Chiefs fatigue that's going on and then also figuring out how you want to bet them this upcoming season? Because it feels like we'd be a little bit foolish to not have something Chiefs related heading into the regular season.
For me, the bet is for them to win the division at minus 118, because you're right, there is Chiefs fatigue. It reminds me a lot of the Astros in the AL West, Femi. How many years do we do it? Where we look at that division, we all talk about, man, Seattle, like that pitching staff's still great. They're trying to improve the lineup, right? I mean, they're still right there. But like,
the Astros
probably going to end up winning that division again, like they do seemingly every year, right? The Rangers, everybody loved the Rangers going into this season. Oh, 2 years removed from the World Series. Now they got everybody healthy. They got that great starting pitching. I mean, the Astros have had a Triple-A team for like 2 months, and the fact they're still winning that division is incredible, because they are inevitable, just like the Chiefs are. They are inevitable. I mean, we don't know how they do it, right? Injuries, suspensions, as long as they got 15 and as long as they got Andy Reid, man, they are the favorites. And we were talking about before we got on air, Femi, the Denver Broncos are everybody's dark horse this year going into the season. Everybody wants in on Denver. And me and you just aren't there. I think Bo Nix is overrated in the eyes of a lot of people. I think he's a fine quarterback. But, I mean, people that are saying, like, Bo Nix is ready to go toe-to-toe with Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar. Like, he can win the AFC. Let's calm down a little bit. Let's look at some of the teams that Bo Nix beat last year. And let's look at some of the teams he lost to when he went against some of the top teams and the top quarterbacks. So I'm not there with them. The Chargers, I mean, the Slater injury is just, it's so brutal for so many different ways. But with Justin Herbert, I mean, we've talked about this. I'm just not a Herbert guy. Talent-wise, top five in the league, without question. Would I ever trust Justin Herbert to win a big game? Absolutely not. And then, you know, the Raiders, we both like them a lot. We both think they have a chance to make the playoffs. I'm not betting them, though, to win the division over Kansas City. Another point I'll make, too, about the Chiefs and the Broncos, because I think the Broncos are the team that a lot of people would pick to win this division, if not Kansas City. Femi, the schedule makers did the Broncos dirty this season when it comes to Kansas City. The two matchups that the Broncos have against the Chiefs this year, the first one when they get them in Mile High, Kansas City's coming off a bye week. I think anybody who watches football knows the track record Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes have off a bye week. So that's the first one. The second one is late in the season. They play on Christmas night, Thursday, short week on the road in Arrowhead. I think we all know how teams do when they have to travel on the road in a short week, especially in a divisional matchup. So you could not have gotten worse spots if you're Denver. Chiefs off a bye, Chiefs on a short week. Those are the two games. I'll take my chances with Kansas City against the Chargers as well. Yes, the Chiefs have a harder schedule because they have to play first place teams and all that. But at the end of the day, if you like the Broncos, if you like the Chargers, they're going to have to, at the very least, win one of those games against Kansas City, probably both. And with Denver, I mean, the way that their schedule sets up against the Chiefs, I can't see that happening. So it's still Kansas City for me, Femi. AFC odds, like, you can see why, right? I mean, they've been to the Super Bowl three straight years. Lamar and Josh Allen are awesome. Like, eventually, one of those guys finally has to. Maybe they just never do. But I think a lot of people feel like maybe they do. But I think the division's the way to go.
Yeah, it feels like the AFC market, it's almost like it's gambler's fallacy, a.k.a. the do factor. Oh, Buffalo or Baltimore has to be do. They got to be do. It's like, do they have to be do? Sometimes it's black five straight times. Doesn't have to be red and go alternate, you know? Like, it almost feels a little bit like gambler's fallacy that we're just, like, dismissing Kansas City. Like, well, they finally have to take a step back. But I guess I'll ask you this, though, about the Chiefs, just to kind of play devil's advocate, because it sounds like we're very pro-Kansas City. And I'm still trying to figure this out for myself as well. Like, I'm not advocating, you must bet this on Kansas City. I'm still working through this, but I want to go ahead and reconsider this team in my betting portfolio, if you will, because, like, I feel like we're dismissing them. But I'll say this, though, PJ. What do you think of everyone that points to the fact that last year, Kansas City went a perfect 11-0 in games that were decided by one score? Like, they were living on the edge for a lot of last season. And I'm sure there's some Denver Bronco fans that are listening to us right now kind of dump on Denver, say, well, I mean, if it wasn't for some blocked kick, we would have beat Kansas City at Arrowhead last year. Like, Kansas City, they got themselves out of some really tricky spots. Think about Black Friday against the Raiders, the Broncos game, as we mentioned, the Chargers game. There were so many crazy games. Do you think that that means that this team is due for regression, or with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, are they just able to do this at a rate that no other team could do in the NFL?
They're due for regression. I mean, they won 15 games last season. I don't think they're doing that again. They won 11-0 in one-score games, like you said. They're not doing that again. But, Femi, they were also terrible against the spread, as we know, right? So, yes, they had a great record. Yes, they were good in one-score games, but they still underachieve in terms of how they were viewed in the market, right? So, it's like maybe in public perception, and the team we're watching shouldn't be as good as what the record says they are. But as Bill Parcells would always say, right? I mean, you are what your record says you are. Kansas City was 15-2, man. They just find ways to win games. So, yes, there should be some regression. I'm not expecting Kansas City to win 15 games again. Would it? I mean, their win total is 11.5. Like, they could easily win 12 games. They could win 11 games, and that could be more than enough to win the division. So, yeah, I mean, you would expect regression. Even if they do regress, though, I think it's going to be enough to win the division. Mike Tirico would always have a great term when talking about golf. He'd call it leaderboard gravity, right? Like Tiger Woods, Scottie Scheffler. When those guys are lurking, it always feels like there's some weight that's like pulling down the leaders, right? Just knowing that those guys are kind of there. It just feels like with the Chiefs in that division, they're kind of leaderboard gravity. Like, if that division's terrible this year, like, and the Chiefs are somehow, like, we look up and they're 3-4, somehow there'll only be like a game back in the AFC West. Like, regardless of how good or bad the division is, it just feels like Kansas City will do what it needs to kind of put themselves in contention and usually win that division.
Yeah, I mean, if they start the year 3-4 this year, I mean, imagine the takes about this team. Imagine what people will be saying. They will be burying them, Super Bowl hangover, the dynasty is dead, all those things. And maybe that presents us with a betting opportunity if the Chiefs get off to a little bit of a rocky start, because we are anticipating some kind of suspension for Rashee Rice. Not going to be in the first month. It sounds like he'll be fine there. But once he has his disciplinary hearing on September 30th at the league offices up in New York. And also, too, finally on this Kansas City thing, we'll talk about some of the other notable news items from NFL Cutdown Day coming up in the next segment. The conspiracy theorist, PJ, they're going to be out and about this year. Get ready for that one, man. Get ready for that one. Like, it's the first Chiefs victory in a close game. It might even happen next Friday in Brazil. Like, the first thing, oh, man, NFL's rigging it for Kelce to win the Super Bowl in his final year. Like, they're going to be out and about, buddy. So, like, as we say, if you think something is rigged, just get on that side. Get on the rigged side and bet it, baby. Like, if you think that the Chiefs are going to get all these calls and get all the favors, just bet them. And profit, and you can make money at the end of the day.
It's true. What would Nick always say, right? You can either complain or you can bet them. I mean, that's what you do.
Exactly. Exactly. Just make money, which is what we were hopefully able to do last season, betting on the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, on the other side, we will get to other notable news items from NFL Cutdown Day. Cutdown about 20 minutes away. Plus, the New Orleans Saints have named their week one starting quarterback. Who is it? Find out when we come back here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM network.
Let's get back to it here on a Tuesday on the BetMGM Network. This is You Better You Bet. Femi Ebefe, PJ Glasser hanging out with you guys this afternoon. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get into some of the other news items from the National Football League as Cutdown Day is here. The deadline is actually 15 minutes from now at 4 o'clock Eastern. So we'll see if there's any other last-second cuts, notable veterans who have been waived by their teams this preseason. But NFL Cutdown Day, it was obviously a tough day for those guys. Like, a lot of dreams are ending, which, like, in all seriousness, like, that's a bummer for a lot of those guys. But also, dreams are being made as some of these undrafted free agents make the team in surprising fashion. So always a tricky day in the National Football League, but a day that's necessary for the sport. So we will see what comes of the next about 15 minutes here in the National Football League. But we had to get to, before the hour ended, the news out of New Orleans, as the Saints have made their decision on their week one starting quarterback. It will be Spencer Rattler. Kellen Moore just met with the media a little less than an hour ago in New Orleans and saying Spencer Rattler is our quarterback. He beats out Tyler Shuck, their second round draft pick from this spring's NFL draft. Kellen Moore did a lot to praise the work that Tyler Shuck did, but he was also very, very clear. Like, this is not a short leash for Spencer Rattler. Spencer is our quarterback going forward. Now, coaches always go back on their word, so like, that doesn't mean that Rattler's in stone for the next 17 games, but he is giving the full endorsement to Spencer Rattler as New Orleans Saints get set to host the Arizona Cardinals next Sunday. Right now, that betting market has the Cardinals as a 6.5-point favorite. This thing continues to go up and up and up. BetMGM still has 6. If you like Arizona, you better bet at BetMGM, because these other sportsbooks, I'm seeing 6.5. Total 42.5 is New Orleans is expected to probably be the worst team in the league, either them or Cleveland. And it's going to be Spencer Rattler at the helm, at least early on in this season. PJ, does this make you want to do anything week one, season long, props, like whatever you think about the New Orleans Saints? How does Spencer Rattler affect how you bet this team in 2025?
I mean, we talked about it yesterday. You and I both are liking the Saints in this game, plus the points. We were hoping Rattler would be the quarterback. So now that he is, I'm definitely leaning towards New Orleans in that game. Do you think we get a 7 with the Saints? Like, what do you think the next move is? Would it go back down to 6? Does it touch 7? I don't think it touches 7. I mean, maybe it does, because so many people are so down on this New Orleans team this year that maybe just all that public money comes in and pushes it up to 7. Maybe everybody's just, you know, teasing Arizona or just betting them on the money line, I guess, at 6.5 at minus 275, whatever it may be. But we talked about it. I mean, ways to definitely handicap the NFL are to just fade survivor pools and look at what those survivor options are going to be. And you look at Arizona, man, and they're absolutely going to be a popular choice week one against the Saints. And that's dangerous, Femi. I normally do not like taking teams in survivor that are on the road, especially a team like Arizona that is not used to being road favorites by this much, and by winning by 6.5. So Kyler Murray, terrific against the spread as a road underdog. Really good in general as a dog, but once he becomes a favorite, that's usually when you want to fade Kyler. The Saints, I think they're going to play well. Superdome for week one is going to be as good as an atmosphere as they're going to have all year because everybody's excited about the season starting. You know, everybody's 0-0. And Rattler, you know, he's probably not a franchise quarterback. He's probably not a long-term solution for the Saints, but I think he's better than maybe people give him credit for. I thought when he came in last year, he did some things. He showed some flashes. I think he's going to be able to put up some points. And, I mean, look, the way that the Saints started the season last year against the Panthers and the Cowboys, if we can get just some of that in this game, we're going to cover our 6.5 with ease. I know Kubiak's no longer there. Derek Carr's not the quarterback. But, I'm liking the Saints. I just wonder if we're going to get a 7. I think we might at some spot. So I'm in no rush. I'm holding out for a 7. If we get that, definitely going to be on New Orleans.
Yeah, you're speaking my language with some of this positive Spencer Rattler talk here. I'm the one that famously on the show says Spencer Rattler is better than Bo Nix. We have retracted said statement. I no longer believe that, but I do hold a little bit of Spencer Rattler stock. That's not a lot of stock, definitely not as much stock as I had last year, but a little bit of Spencer Rattler stock I still have. There's some talented play. He has a great arm. Now, sometimes it looks like his head is spinning. sometimes it's like you wonder what's going on back there. But if he and Kellen Moore can find some kind of chemistry, maybe the situation might not be as bad as we all think. That's about as positive I can be about the New Orleans Saints this upcoming season. But I do want to further emphasize what Kellen Moore said about this quarterback decision. He said, quote, "We're not getting into this QB debate throughout the season. Spencer's our quarterback. Tyler's going to continue to develop. We're really excited about Spencer. We think he's going to do an awesome job for us." So they're going to try to make sure that there's no issues with people saying, all right, is it time to play Tyler Shuck? But like, he can say whatever he wants, he being Kellen Moore. People are still going to call for Tyler Shuck if this team is losing games. Because looking at the schedule here, PJ, and I want you to kind of pinpoint where you think Tyler Shuck might play for the New Orleans Saints. So week one, they're hosting Arizona. Obviously, we know that's going to be Spencer Rattler. Week two, and like barring injury, of course, if everyone's healthy, week two, Rattler's going to be starting when they host the San Francisco 49ers. Week three, they're at Seattle. Week four, they're at Buffalo. Like right off the top right there, I mean, 0-4 is the favorite outcome by a pretty good margin based on how the Saints are being rated. Like they're a 6.5-point dog to Arizona at home. Like that's going to be at least a touchdown to San Francisco. You're probably going to be close to that on the road at Seattle. You might be double digits. Will be double digits probably when you take on Buffalo on the road.
Definitely.
And then now you host the Giants, to where, you know, the Giants, people seem to think they're a little bit frisky. Giants might be favored in that game. Not by a lot, but they might be favored to where you're less than 50% to beat the New York Giants, the same Giants who come into the season with a win total around 6.5. Like, this could get really, really bad. How many games do you think we see Spencer Rattler this season? And, like, when does Tyler Shuck get out there? It's like, is it the bye week? Is it before the bye week? Because I don't know where the wing's going to be taking place for this New Orleans Saints this upcoming season.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think probably after week six against New England is where I would look at. You know, you obviously play the first two games at home. You're going to be big dogs in those games. You see how it goes. Then you have to go on the road and play in two of the toughest environments in the NFL against Seattle and Buffalo. You're going to be big dogs in those games. The Giants game is where Rattler has to play well, because those are thought to be two of the worst three or four teams in football. It's at home. I mean, that game's probably going to be must win. Absolutely must win. He's got to play well in that game. If he doesn't, I think he gets one more chance, another home game against the Patriots. And if they're 0-6, he doesn't play well, then I think they make a change with Shuck going up against Chicago on the road in week 7. I kind of look at that week 6 game against New England as probably the game where they would make a change. Because, Femi, you're right. I mean, look, I like them +6.5, +7s against Arizona. I mean, obviously, wouldn't shock me if they lost that game. Probably will. And then San Francisco probably lose. They probably start the season 0-4. That Giants game, like you said, really is a must-win game. Maybe for fan bases, though, it's a must-lose game, right? That could be one of those where you're hoping for the tiebreaker to lose to get that higher draft pick. I think week 6 against New England. I'm setting the market 6.5 as the over-under for the week. When we would see a change, possibly, and I would take the under on that or I would take the over. I think they're going to make a change week 7 at Chicago.
So it would be at Chicago, because that's not an easy stretch as well.
No,
so week 7, they're at Chicago. Week 8, they host Tampa. Week 9, at the Rams. Week 10, at the Panthers. Then the bye week. It's hard to envision a team just sticking with a quarterback if they're like 1-9 or 0-10, something like that. And I don't think they'll be 0-10. They'll find a way to win one of those games in the first 10 weeks. I kind of think it might be after the bye week that we see Tyler Shuck.
Really?
Like, the way that they have phrased it, saying, like, hey, like, we want Tyler to continue to develop, it almost sounds like they are like, all right, this dude is not ready to play NFL football. And think about how they feel about both of these quarterbacks, just based on what they have invested in them. Now, Mickey Loomis, of course, drafted Spencer Rattler, but Kellen Moore didn't tell him to draft Spencer Rattler. Kellen Moore was with the Eagles when they decided to do that. And the guy that Kellen Moore seems to like, you would think at least, he and Doug Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator, is Tyler Shuck, since they were around for him being drafted in the second round of this spring's NFL draft. It almost feels like, to me, they're not going to want to like throw their guy into the fire early on in the season. It almost feels like, all right, let's wait. We're probably going to be mathematically eliminated by the time we get to December, but like maybe we can play him in a couple games before then. Let's ease him in. Bye week, home game. So you get 2 weeks to prepare for a home game as opposed to like, all right, like let's get out there. Three out of first four of your games are going to be on the road against credible competition. I actually think that this is going to be after the bye week around that Thanksgiving period. And then, all right, we'll go out and play Tyler Shuck for the remaining 7 games to get an evaluation on him. And then whatever that happens, if he's good, maybe Shuck's the guy in the future. If he's bad, boom, we're picking Lenoris Sellers or Drew Aller or Arch Manning with the first overall pick in next year's NFL draft. I think they're going to want to get a good sample size on Shuck, but I don't think they're going to put him out there too early since they do want him to succeed, since he was their guy, they being Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier.
I think that's fair. You know, and it's a tough tightrope act for Kellen Moore to kind of walk a little bit in his first year, you know, to make that decision. And if the team is struggling, when you end up pulling Rattler and going to Shuck potentially later on in the season. I mean, the way that bye week is where it is in the schedule at week 11, it is a good spot to make change. I mean, they do have a tough schedule, Femi, with New Orleans. Like, it's a lot of back-to-back home games, back-to-back road games, or like 3 road games in 4, 3 home games in 4, like whatever it is. So there's really not too many spots in the season where you can kind of just ease Tyler Shuck in there. The bye week, and then the fact that you get a home game against Atlanta, so you can get him probably, you know, 2 weeks to prep for that game would be the best way to go about it, it would seem. But I still think probably week 7 against the Bears is where I would look. At that point, I think you kind of know what you have in Rattler a little bit, and I think they want to give it enough time to see what they have in Shuck. New Orleans, regardless, probably going to go after a quarterback in the draft, but I think we're going to see Shuck probably before the bye week.
Last thing I'll say on this here, as we're approaching the break here to get to the next hour, Tyler Shuck, when Derek Carr announced his retirement, got all the way down to 10-1. To an offensive rookie of the year. This is why sometimes you see those markets move. You don't need to chase every single move. The FOMO can get you broke. Tyler Shuck is now 40-1 over at BetMGM. So for those of you who pumped the brakes, you did a good job. A cool hand is needed to bet these markets. All right, on the other side, we'll get to some other notable news on NFL Cutdown Day here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.